Hi, this is Jean-Jacques Taylor, and you're listening to Jock Talk. This is a podcast where I talk about the Cowboys, the team I've covered as a beat writer, columnist, TV insider, and radio host for 28 years. I'll also talk about the NFL and the things I love, working out, streaming, food, and all things Dallas. My boy Big Joe and the Big Rig, one of my oldest friends, produces the show and occasionally chimes in with his thoughts on the Cowboys. After all, he's a lifelong Cowboys fan, and he played high school, college, and semi-pro football. Welcome to Jock Talk, where sports is fluid. What's true today might not be true an hour, a day, or a month from now. I'm going to give you the truth straight. No chaser. Glad to have you aboard. Let's get it. Welcome to episode 96 of Jock Talk. I'm Jean-Jacques Taylor, boy, joined by my boy, Big Joe and the Big Rig. And we hope you are prepared to be entertained and dazzled for the next hour or so as I deal with a little bit of laryngitis. But it's draft day, so you know you got to do what you got to do.
What's the sit rep, dog?
It's rough out here. It's hard out here. And you grinding through, and we are 5x5. Well, I'm 5x5, but you limping through, and I appreciate you.
Well, you know, I feel fine physically, but the voice is a little shady, so we're going to go for as long as we can go, and then we're going to bounce. But it's draft night, so you got to do what you got to do. Episode 96, who comes to mind, dog?
Marcus Spears.
I got love for Spears. I thought you was going to say Ebenezer Ekiban.
Hell no, he didn't give us nothing.
You know what? I always thought he could play, but because he worked hard and he tried hard.
Yeah, he did.
But that boy was stiff as a board. He had no bend whatsoever, which means he could not get to the quarterback.
He had muscles in his eyebrows. That's how he had muscles everywhere.
Yeah, he did.
I watched him do some pass rush drills in Wichita Falls, and yeah, he was kind of stiff out there.
Now, he's also known for showing up one day and not finding his lock in his jersey.
Old jersey.
Bill Parcells made him inactive. He was hot as fish grease because he didn't get no heads up.
Yeah.
But that being said, let's turn our attention quickly to the draft. First, though, I got to remind you, if you're ever in a car accident, Or your voice gets run over, somebody's malpractice has caused you, somebody's negligence has harmed you, you need to give my boys over there at Grinning Law call, 972-934-8900. All you got to do is say, hey, here's my situation, what do you think? If they bring you on as a client, it's been a great day for you, because they'll walk you through the process, which can be long and tedious and drawn out. But they tell you when to walk and when to run and when to sit tight, all that good stuff so that you can get through it. And they focus on everything so that you can focus on two things, healing and renewal. Get your mind right and get your body right and then get your life back. And that's what they want you to focus on. So they take care of everything. You need a doctor that can set that up for you. You need a specialist that can set that up for you. And the best thing about it is they don't get paid unless you get paid. So there's no fees, no hidden fees, no nothing. Unless they take care of your case for you and you get paid, you're not out of pocket. The consultation is free, too. So that's as good as it gets to me. With that approach, you never have to wonder where you fit on the priority list. You're always numero uno. And with that, let's talk about these Dallas Cowboys and on draft night. We had the draft today, and it was a very, at one level, it was kind of a basic draft. At another level, it was kind of an interesting draft. Your Cowboys, as many of us thought they would do, traded down. But here's what happened off the rip. 7 tackles taken in the first round, 7 wide receivers, 6 quarterbacks, 6 the first 12 picks quarterbacks. And that put the Cowboys in a position to move down. Because so many quarterbacks and receivers went early. Ultimately, here's what the Cowboys did. At the 24th pick, did you think they were going to stay there? Or did you think they were going to trade down?
Well, you had told me earlier that they was thinking about, you know, let's look for them to trade back. So I was anxious to get to the pick. And I waited and waited and waited. And all of a sudden, all that stuff that Kirk Herbstreit and them was doing and they was kikiing about wasn't cute no more because I'm waiting on the Cowboys pick. And then they traded to the Lions. And I'm like, I'll be done. What the hell happened? So I'm looking everywhere to see what pick the Cowboys got. I got so pissed off, I just went, jumped in the shower, and I said, I'll see they pick later on. Because I was just so anxious for them to get the pick. And I jumped out the shower and realized they traded down to 29, and I saw they pick. So it's like, yeah.
Well, I looked at it, and when they got to their pick at 24, Graham Barton, the center from Duke, was still on the board. Tyler Guyton was on the board.
Yeah.
Jordan Morgan was on the board. Jackson Powers Johnson, the center out of Oregon, was on the board. So you had two tackles and two centers on the board. They moved down five spots. So I think that they just figured, okay, as long as we get one of them cats, we good, and we pick up this third-round pick. And so, of course, Barton went with the next pick. Girl, he went very quickly after that. Jordan Morgan was gone. And when it was time for the Cowboys to pick at 24, ooh, boy, that one was hard. They came up with Tyler Guyton, tackle, Oklahoma. Grew up a Cowboys fan, a huge Cowboys fan. They talked with him at the combine, and he waxed poetic about how much he loved the Cowboys, and he hoped he could be a part of their organization. So they drafted him. A lot of talk about how good he'll be. This much I'll say, and this much you can't disagree with. The Dallas Cowboys, you can say what you want to, they know how to draft offensive linemen. He's the fifth offensive lineman they've drafted in the first round in the Jerry Jones era. Here go the other four. Tyron Smith feels like a future Hall of Famer. Zach Martin feels like a future Hall of Famer. Travis Frederick, perennial Pro Bowl player, injury took him out of the game.
Possibly the best center in Cowboys history with Stepnoski.
Right. He's probably in, he's in that conversation. And then Tyler Smith, who's on his way to being a perennial Pro Bowl player, and we'll see if a Hall of Fame is in his future. So those are the guys that they've drafted in the first round. Will McClay has been around for at least three of those. So my point is, whether you like what he did at Oklahoma, whether you like what the draft picks say about him, given the Cowboys' track record, I think you just have to trust that they know what they're doing when it comes to drafting offensive linemen in the first round.
So 14 games at Oklahoma is better than 8 games at Georgia.
No.
He only started 14 games at Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing to me. And he played right tackle at Oklahoma, too. So it's the same thing that, to me, is not ideal. But then what did we say off the rip? You take – and this was a question I posed on Twitter before it happened. And I posed this after, I can't remember, one of the tackles got drafted. It was like, do you want the seventh or eighth best tackle, or do you want the first or second center? And they chose to go with the seventh tackle in Guyton, who has a lot of good physical traits, good pass blocker, and consistent as a run blocker. But we'll see if he can develop. It can't do anything but help to be next to Tyler Smith, right next to him. And then we'll see. What'd you think about it?
I thought they traded one project for another, because when we was talking about Mims, and Mims went early on, then you trade down for him. I think it's going to be feast or famine with this dude. I think it's going to be what a block by the other Tyler. You know, Tyler, what a block by Tyler Guyton this time. These guys are good on that left side. We got Tyler and Tyler. It'll be like a damn law firm on the left side if they're successful. Or it's going to be Dax is running for his life today. You know, one or the other. You know, you can scheme them. I don't know how much Mike McCarthy will adjust if he ain't doing what he's supposed to do. But I just hope, as a Cowboy fan, I hope that health is not a problem for him. I hope that he stay healthy and get a chance to be coached up. I mean, Tyler Smith was a head scratcher for me. You know, he was like, okay. You know, he was a North Crowley kid. I know my kids went to North Crowley, but I didn't know him when he was there, when he played with one of my sons. But
right.
I was proud of that. But otherwise, I thought, who is this kid from Tulsa? and what can he do? And he turned out to be pretty good, so you got to give him the benefit of the doubt, you know.
Now, the Cowboys acquired, they traded back to number 29. They got number 73 from Detroit. It's a third-round pick.
That's a good haul.
Yeah, they gave, okay, so you like that. They needed a pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I usually don't like, I usually try to get the value where you at. But if you're going to pay a left tackle, yeah, you can trade back. And then you picked up a pick. So, they, yeah. You know, there's your linebacker or there's your center or there's right. somebody. It moves you to the top of the draft. You know, you're getting up to the top of the draft, so it's all good.
Oh, so that's what they did with that. And, you know, it's not a sexy pick, but it's a pick they needed. And, you know, it's I'm always concerned about that when you put yourself in a position where you have to draft something, a particular position, as opposed to going with, you know, best player available. Even when you do that, that's at a need spot. But it was pretty obvious that they had to take a tackle in the draft. It was just a matter of which one they were going to take.
Well, the question, you know, the question remains, you know, can you get a guard in the third round? I mean, can you get a center in the third round? Yep.
Yeah.
You can. Can you get a good linebacker in the third round? Yep. You can. Can you fill a hole with a third round pick? Yes, you can. And then, like we say, the Cowboys have done their homework. To me, with the Cowboys, it's not with who they draft, it's who they retain. It's the retention that gets on my nerves. Them guys still playing in the show. You know, a lot of the guys that they drafted, that's my problem.
Why is that your problem?
Because you should be able to.
Should be Dallas?
Well, you should be able to retain some of them. You just keep regrouping and keep redrafting and keep moving.
That's because you can't pay everybody.
I know you can't pay everybody.
And but those cats.
It's like. Sorry, go ahead.
No, those cats end up being the middle class. And right. You can't afford to pay Tyler Biadasz and Connor Williams $8-9 million a year when you're paying these other guys $25 and $30 million a year.
Yeah. Well, it's like you said, but it's like you and Todd were saying the other day, you can't wait till they get to that. You can't. And then it's a game within the game, the salary cap, because you say you can't pay everybody $5 million a year, but you plugging and playing on these players. And, there's too many players that you pay that are busts. You know, you gamble when you pay number 13 Gallup all that money, but then you let Tyler Biadasz leave. You know, it's just a gamble. You know, sometimes the gamble is good for them, sometimes it ain't worth it. I mean, that's hindsight. I know hindsight is 20/20. You should have paid the center instead of paying him and all that other stuff, but, man, it's just, I get tired of that. That's just from a fan's level.
No, that's understandable. I was trying to look it up right quick. To see if I could look it up right quick. Because I was interested to see where Biadasz ended up. Let me see.
Right. Didn't he go to Tennessee?
Nah, I'm sorry. He went to Washington.
Okay, he went to Washington, yeah.
Okay, like the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know, Tyler Biadasz is the 7th highest paid center in the league now. They just wasn't going to do that. If that makes sense.
Right? Yeah, no, that makes sense. But it's like y'all, you know, when I talk to you and Todd, I learn a lot about salary, and Clarence too. When I talk to y'all, I learn a lot about the jumping back and forth on the salary cap. Because if I say you should have paid Tyler Biadasz before he became a $10 million center, your counter was, well, you can't pay everybody $5 million a year. You know, you're really not going to have no cap room. Mm-hmm. So both two things can be true, and that's the crux of the situation.
Yeah.
So that's the lesson I learned just listening to y'all talk about that.
Right. So, and then some guys you just expect to replace.
Right.
You know, you come in, maybe we can get 3 or 4 years of you as a starter. Then we move on, draft another guy, get 3 or 4 years out of him as a starter. Because we got to pay these superstars that we also drafted.
Yeah, that's your Dalton Schultz, Jake Ferguson argument right there.
That's a perfect example of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because yeah, I would tell Jake Ferguson might be good enough when his deal is up that right. You're like, well, damn, now we need to pay Jake Ferguson.
Yeah, yeah.
But Dalton Schultz, you never felt like he was a difference maker. You felt like he was just a pretty good cog in the wheel, but he was replaceable.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's probably what it comes to. You look at the guy, you look at the position, you look at the player, and you say, can we find this guy again? Or is he a guy that's hard to find? We might need to pay him.
Roger that.
But these are all good discussions. But the draft started off with a bang with the 3 quarterbacks coming right off the rip. And then you know, there's always a point where you sit there and try to figure out when does the draft actually start? When does it get interesting and intriguing? And to be honest with you, I thought it went based off the things that I had read and what I anticipated, I thought it went fairly, chalk with, the quarterbacks went with the first 3 picks. Arizona took Marvin Harrison, which was expected, out of Ohio State. The Chargers took Joe Alt, the tackle out of Notre Dame, which was expected, given Jim Harbaugh likes to play hard-nosed, physical, run-the-ball football. Then the Giants, the question was, did they believe in Daniel Jones for one more year, or would they take a quarterback? And I really wasn't surprised when they passed on J.J. McCarthy just because you're still into Daniel Jones for like $40 million. Do you want to pay another rookie quarterback?
Well, they the same player.
Well, you can see it like that.
Yeah, because both of them run. You know what I'm saying? Both of them athletic. That's the same guy. Yeah. That's what I think.
The problem is if you pick J.J. McCarthy with the 6th pick, I'm just going to ask you, what happens the first time Daniel Jones have a bad game?
Oh, you asking for that the 6th pick? It's funny because if they picked him, they'd be picked at the same spot,
right? And that's why they had to force him in the lineup.
Yeah, that's what and everybody be scratching their head again.
Yeah,
but so, I think they did well though.
No, Malik Nabers, you want to give him some weapons. They ain't had a 1,000-yard receiver since Odell Beckham Jr. in 2018. So maybe he can help them. So, you know, the draft goes fine. J.C. Latham, the tackle to Tennessee, that makes sense. And then.
Yeah.
Then the draft changed.
Yeah, it did.
When the Atlanta Falcons sat up there and took Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th pick in the draft. And I was like.
What they doing?
Oh, what
y'all,
okay.
What y'all doing?
Now, what do you think that they're doing?
Being, you know, you not helping Kirk Cousins. That's what you're doing. And why did you sign Kirk to all that money? Is he still hurt? What's going on?
Okay, let's dissect this. What you mean they're not helping Kirk Cousins?
When you draft his backup, you're not putting no more weapons in his hand. You're not drafting a lineman. You're not drafting that quarterback. You draft a quarterback and you got a quarterback. It's what do we call that? I don't know. You're not helping your team because he's going to back up. But if Kurt is going to start, Kurt going to fool around and play all 17 games. And then you don't have a receiver. You don't have any. He's not going to help Kirk at all because he's not going to play defense. He can't play another position. He's going to back him up. Now, what if Kirk Cousins give you 2 stellar years or 2 serviceable years? Or 2 Kirk Cousins years where you win, but you don't do the playoffs, and you developing Michael Penix. So now you got Michael Penix waiting 3 years, and Michael Penix already damn 35 years old. So, I don't know.
I don't think it'll be – I think they like the tight end they got. I think they like the running back they got. I think they feel okay. I mean, plus, you know, this is just the 1st pick. You can go get a receiver in the 2nd round. You can try to help him out some. But I think that they thought, hey – this is a chance to, for once, not have to get the quarterback. and rush him onto the field because we got a guy, we don't have to rush him. Kirk is also at the age where if he got hurt, it wouldn't surprise anybody just because he's an older guy.
I wouldn't have done it. I mean,
this is pretty much like Jordan Love going to the Packers. Whenever you take a quarterback and you already got one who can play, it always opens you up for criticism for the very reasons that you mentioned.
Yep.
And those criticisms remain until Jordan Love get a chance to play and say, I can ball out, so shut up. So those questions will remain until Michael Penix get out there and ball out and be like, shut the hell up.
Yep.
But that's where the draft got really interesting.
Yeah.
Because I knew right then that, oh, the Vikings now can get McCarthy and they ain't got to move at all because they wanted a quarterback. And I knew this would happen. I mean, I didn't know, but I knew. If five quarterbacks are gone and there's only one left that you think is any good, relatively speaking, somebody going to get that dude. Because he's the only one left.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter which team it was. Whatever team was like, we need a quarterback. We want a quarterback. There's one left. We got to go get this guy. And it turned out to be Sean Payton at Denver. And everybody says Bo Nix is like a great fit for what Sean Payton wants to do offensively.
Yeah, you better hope he is. Because then people going to eat Sean Payton alive if he ain't.
Well, he ain't going to last if he ain't. And J.J. McCarthy can now, because did you hear what he said on the NFL Network show with Rich Eisen the other day?
No, what did he say?
You know, Rich did what you're supposed to do. Hey, is there any place you would like to go or you think you would go? And J.J. fell for the bait. He was like, oh, I had a great visit with the Giants. The Giants showed me a lot of love. I feel like I'm going to the Giants. Mm. I love Coach Daboll. I love that offense that they put in. It's a lot like we ran in Michigan. It'd be a very easy fit. So if I had to guess, I think I'm going to the Giants. So you know he was salty when the Giants passed on him. And now he in the NFC with the Vikings. He going to get to play the Giants often enough. And now, you know, he going to get self... he get to create some angst about why the Giants looked him over, why the Giants lied to him and made him think they was going to draft him. All that kind of good stuff that fuels people like J.J.
I don't know. I don't know about J.J., man. I don't know about him.
Nobody does because and this is not Ohio State hate coming out, okay? Nobody knows about him because nobody was looking at him as no great quarterback during the year. And the offseason came, and all of a sudden, he ain't played another game, but he moving up the charts.
Damn. I'm trying to think. My mind is foggy. The damn quarterback out of Washington that was drafted in the first round by
Tennessee.
The Titans, yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Really athletic guy, number 10 from Washington. I can't remember his name either.
He was taken eighth overall.
Right. And he had all
that. Why can't we remember all that stuff, but you can't remember.
I don't know. I'm having an old man moment. But he ran like 4.5. He was a lot like J.J. McCarthy. And he never panned out. It's like sometimes they fall in love with somebody like that. It didn't do much in college. And then.
Jake Locker.
There you go. Jake Locker was all that. Big guy, fast, athletic. He really didn't show you much in college. It's one of them things where J.J. Did Harbaugh hold him down in the system? They ran the ball all the time. I just didn't see him do much in college to make me think he's a top 10 or even a first-round guy.
Well, a lot of his stuff is going to be fiery leader, intangibles, all that kind of stuff. Winner, make plays at winning time. Just for comparison, Jake Locker, 4 years in the league, he didn't get a second contract. 9-14 as a starter. 27 touchdowns, 22 interceptions. And like I said, he been gone out the year for a decade, out the league for a decade. I wonder what he doing now. He probably doing TV or he probably coaching somewhere.
Yeah, Jake was a great guy. He just didn't pan out in the league.
And as a first round pick, eighth overall, he got paid.
Mm-hmm. Quarterback so money, yeah.
So if he was smart with his money, you know, if somebody gave you, I like to say this all the time, whatever his contract was, if somebody gave you right out of college a $15 million head start, you'd probably be all right.
Maybe.
Well,
you don't know how bad I am with money. I might have 1,500 guns and no lights. I don't know. That's just me. Shit. Yeah.
Well, okay, Jake Locker made $12.5 million. Which sounds like a lot, but it is and it's not.
Yeah. After taxes and all of that crazy stuff, agents well, and all of that.
Yeah, not just that, but when you get the money, when you're the eighth pick in the draft and you've lived the life Jake Locker has lived, you think this is the first of many millions and many contracts. And so it may not be until year three where you're like, oh, I might not really be for long.
Yeah.
Yeah. As opposed to having that approach right off the rip. Well, that's where the draft got interesting, man. J.J. McCarthy goes 11 to the Vikings. And then I think your boy went right after that 12 to the Broncos.
Bo Nix.
And so we'll see where he goes. Yeah, he went right next to the Jets picked the tackle from Penn State, and then Bo Nix went 12. It's the first time quarterbacks. It's only the second time you've had six quarterbacks taken in the first round. You've never had six quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks before, and all these guys were offensive players, man. Brock Bowers went next to the Raiders.
Brock Bowers, that was my favorite player in the draft, right there.
Why?
Because he played running back in high school, big dude, exciting player from Georgia, busted people's ass right from the beginning when he got to Georgia. As a freshman, he tore him up. Then he had that ankle injury, and then it's like they did some kind of rope surgery on there, and that looked nasty, and he played through that. Just Brock Bowers been doing the damn thing at Georgia since he got there.
Well, I didn't realize he was a running back in high school.
Yeah, he played a little running back, and that's why he was running after the catch like that. He just tore people up the minute he got to Georgia. That's SEC stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I liked him. I was thinking about the Broncos. They got an interesting quarterback room. They got Grant Stidham. They got Bo Nix. Now they got, what's my man's name? Taylor from the Jets. If you got
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson from the Jets, yeah. And, man, if you got five quarterbacks, what do you say? You got three quarterbacks, you got none.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wilson is just, he's a talented guy. Let's see what he got.
Yeah.
Stidham is, I can stick him in there and play until the other guys are ready.
Yeah.
And then let me see what I got with Bo. And, maybe Bo doesn't start until four games into the regular season, give him time to absorb everything. Or maybe he's the guy right off the rip.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, it's a jumble mess over there.
Yeah, but my voice is giving out now. So we finna wrap this up. The Cowboys. Tyler Guyton joins the Cowboys offensive line. Left side will be interesting with the firm of Tyler and Tyler,
Tyler
over
and
there.
Tyler, yeah, all right.
My voice is getting weak, and it's starting to hurt a little bit. So I gave it what I had for y'all. We always like to appreciate Green and Law and our boys Smokey John's Barbecue because we can't do the show without them. Big Joe and the Big Rig until we chat again, and hopefully I have more voice by then. You guys be blessed.